Amen. Well, I want you to get your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in your Bible. And then I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. And I want to speak with you a message on Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1, it says this, "Brothers," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "when I came to you, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet we speak wisdom among those that are mature, although not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the wisdom of God, or the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Likewise, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. These things also we proclaim, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is not judged by anyone. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, I need you. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to relay to your people what you have been speaking to me. For Lord, you want to make yourself known in this generation. But Lord, this will not occur, Lord, through the wisdom of man's knowledge. It will only occur through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us to hear what you are saying to us. And I pray as a result that we would be a church led by the Spirit of God, and that in the end, Jesus Christ alone would be glorified in our midst. Speak, we pray, and give us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. I remember when I first got saved, many, many years ago now. It was probably in 1990, around there. After hearing the gospel, after hearing evangelist Billy Graham on television, I got on my knees that night and I received Jesus into my heart as Lord and Savior. And it was at that very moment, after receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit came to make His residence within my heart. For you see, the moment that you and I receive Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our hearts, our lives. And at that point in my understanding of Christian things, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know much at all about the Holy Spirit. I was raised as a young boy to know that there was a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I did not know much of the Holy Spirit. But as I began to walk with the Lord and began to grow in my understanding of the Scripture, I began to read the New Testament and find the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And so in my heart, I began to pray and say, God, I want everything that you have for me. I want to be filled and I want to have everything that you have provided for me through the cross of Calvary. Hold nothing back. And so I began to pray, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And as I began to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, for you see, I understood from the Scripture that I would receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit would come upon me to preach the gospel, to be a witness. And I was one of the shyest of the shy. You look at Pastor James now and you would think, nah, that cannot be. But I'm here to tell you, you didn't hear a peep from Brother James in those years. I was a very quiet and shy individual. But my love for Jesus was growing and my desire for more of the fullness of God was growing more and more. And so I began to pray, Lord, I want the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And so in my church, I wasn't hearing much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, although I knew it existed. But I began to listen in on an evangelist, a preacher, an Assemblies of God evangelist who began to teach and proclaim the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And my burden and desire began to grow more and more. I wanted the Holy Spirit in my life in a greater and more full way. And so I began to seek after God. I began to pray, God, fill me. Every time I would go to a fellowship meeting, a confraternidad like we know, I would go walk around and I would see spiritual men and women and I'd begin to ask them, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they would say yes. And I would say, how? How did it happen? And they would tell me their story. And in my heart, it would begin to beat. And this desire for the Holy Spirit would just be there so strong. I wanted the Holy Spirit so bad. I would ask this one. I would ask that one. I would hear this story. I would hear that one. And my longing for more of the Holy Spirit only grew. And it didn't ever subside. I even remember a dream that I had where I was at my cousin's house and there was a white dove on the pole of the fence and flew and landed on me. And I remember the sensation, the feeling of glory that I felt in the dream, the longing that I had for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And as I began to pray, I remember I was in my car. My car had become my prayer closet. It was a little Dodge Omni car. I don't even remember what year it was. And I would read my Bible and I would pray in there and I said, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And I remember I got on my knees and I received the Holy Spirit there all by myself and I began to speak with other tongues. And the Holy Spirit came into my life and God began to reveal Himself to me in powerful ways. And now in this age, this time of my life, you see, I've seen God move in my life in amazing ways, in ways that only God could have done it. The other night I was telling the story when I wanted to be water baptized, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be baptized in the rain. It was raining that day, and I said, Lord, I want to be baptized in water with the sun shining. And I remember still, like yesterday, when the first one got water baptized, they came out with the rain. The second one, it was still raining, and when it was my turn to walk, as I walked into the water, all of a sudden the clouds opened up and the sun began to shine through. And I got dunked in that water. And I came out of that water, and as I began to walk out of that river, began to walk on the bank, the clouds closed up, and then not a few minutes later, it began to rain all over again. God was showing Himself to me in powerful ways. He began to call me into the ministry. He said, I want you to go to Bible school. God showed me which one to go to. I remember being in New York City one time. And we were at Times Square Church with a group of us. And I was, like I said, I came from the valley. I didn't come just from the valley. I came from Capulene. I mean, that's small town USA. I mean, Center Colorado is almost 10 times as big as Capulene is. So we were there in the midst of that big old city, in the midst of that big old church, and the service ended, and I remember I was with another brother and a group there, And all of a sudden they got up and they left, and I was there and not paying attention, must have been just being blessed, and they took off to the back and left me there all by myself. Yeah, I was in a church, but I was still in the middle of New York City, and I got a little bit concerned. I was like, well, what do I do? How do I find my way back to Sarah House? How do I get back? How do I walk the streets? I was afraid. Yeah, I was afraid at that time. I'm not ashamed. I was. And I remember I sat down on the chair, and I began to pray in my heart, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go into these streets by myself. I don't want to do it. I didn't know what to do, and so I prayed, Lord, bring them back. And so I remember all of a sudden, there they come through. The group comes through the front. There I am. And they said, oh, James, you're still here. Why don't you leave? I said, oh, I was just waiting. I acted like I didn't. So I joined them, and we went back to the Sarah House where we were staying. So I finally said, well, how come you guys came back? I asked a question. He says, you know, we were walking, and we were about to go out the back door of the church under the street, which was it 51st Street? One of the streets there in the street. And he says, we were walking, and all of a sudden, they just slammed the door shut in our face. They locked it, and they didn't let us out. And I said, oh, I know why that happened. I didn't tell them that, but I knew in my heart God was answering my prayer. But God revealing himself to me in these ways, in small ways, big ways, little tokens showing me that God's in my life. Did you know God wants to show himself strong in your life? And so, Lord, teach me. Lord, I want more of you. And in the past couple of weeks, I've been reading the Corinthian letters. And I was reading about Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I began to consider the Apostle Paul a little bit. For you see, Paul began to minister in a city. Corinth was one of the most ungodly towns then in the Roman Empire. They said to be a Corinthian or to be Corinthianized was to be a person that has taken on the lifestyle of the Corinthians. A life of immorality, a life of debauchery, a life of unbridled licentiousness. I'm talking about living in sin and sinfulness unbridled. And so to be a Corinthian was to be a person that was literally in the dregs of sin, in the depths of sinfulness. And so Paul was called of God to minister the gospel in this kind of a city. In the book of Acts, God would speak to Paul and say, I have many people in that city before Paul ever got there. God's intention was to save, and he had a plan for many in that town. But in chapter 2, we find Paul speaking, and we find that when Paul entered into that city, he didn't go there and begin to promote himself and say, look at all the degrees I have. When he goes into that town, he doesn't go into that town and begin to say, look how smart I am and how wise I am. But look what happens in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech, the way that he spoke and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I began to consider this. You see, it wasn't a nice 3-point sermon that got these people saved. It wasn't that he was strong and that he was just this man of power. Instead, the people, when they saw him, they saw a weak man. Later on in his letters, he would say, in the Corinthian letters, how that he was rude of speech. That means that he wasn't an orator. That means sometimes he may have stumbled and slurred his words. But it wasn't the way that the words were shared, but that he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or man's wisdom. For you see, he didn't want the people to stand upon the way a person spoke, nor did he want them to go and boast on the individual that preached the gospel. He preached to them the power of God. And he said, the reason why is so that your faith would rest upon the power of God and not on the wisdom of men. And so I begin to think about that, Lord, we need this in our generation. We don't need more learning. We need the Holy Spirit. We need a manifestation of God in our generation like no other generation has seen. For you see, some of our elderly people, some of those that have experienced Pentecost, have told the stories of how the Holy Spirit moved, how people were saved, how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about my generation. Many of our own have not tasted Pentecost. And we need the Holy Spirit in this generation like never before. For you see, whenever you have the skeptics that are saying God doesn't exist and they see the power of God in their midst, there is no way that they can deny that God exists. But there's a powerless generation that the Scripture has foretold would be in the latter days. Paul said in the latter days there would be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But I'm here to tell you that I don't want to be a minister that has denied the power. I want to be a minister in these last days that moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just me. I'm saying we need the Holy Spirit because we are His church. The Holy Spirit wants to flow through you. He wants to flow through me. And our generation needs the moving of the Holy Spirit like none other. For you see, the Bible begins to explain, as Paul began to express, how he was there in Corinth. But he said, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by His, what does it say there? By His Spirit. You see, we can get our degrees in our Bible school institutions. And like I said earlier, I'm not knocking our degrees. We should be learned. We should learn. We should develop in our education. We should grow in our understanding of the Scriptures, the history, the context. You're not going to learn that without going to Bible school. Amen. But what these things that are revealed in regards to what the Bible is saying here, the depths of God are not revealed by your Bible school, but by your education in the Spirit. We must be a people that get on our knees, and we need to learn to have that discipline of prayer again. That discipline of seeking the face of God. I've been reading a book by Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. If you've ever had a chance to read it, I'm sure you could understand what Leonard Ravenhill was saying and proclaiming. Leonard Ravenhill, in that book, chapter after chapter, the recurring theme is how that revival tarries because there's not enough passion in the pulpit anymore. There's not enough people sold out for God anymore. The world has captivated us. We have grown thin spiritually. We are not making leaps and bounds in our prayer lives anymore. We don't even know what it means to pray through. But if we want God to move in mighty power again, there needs to be those that will pay the price. And Lord willing, in this church, there will be some. Amen? For the Spirit searches all things, verse 10 says in the latter part, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Likewise, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How many of you want to know all that God has for you? That we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. It says there later on, these things also we proclaim, not in words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Did you know the Holy Spirit teaches? He wants to teach you. He wants to reveal things to you. And He wants to do it as your friend. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is not going to be there just holding things against you, and He's going to seem like He's always going to put you down. You know, sadly, in our lives, we've had people put us down, but the Holy Spirit will never do that. He will be there to lift you up, to encourage you, to help you along your way, to help you when you've made a mistake. He's here. He's here to help you and me. And I wish I could say that I was so full of the Spirit, or that I had never neglected God's Holy Spirit in my life. I wish I could say that I have never made the mistakes, or I've never grown weary in my walk. But I'm here to tell you that even though it has happened, I want to move in the Spirit more now than ever. I remember as a young, like I said, I was walking the Spirit so strongly, so powerfully as a young teenager. And I remember the thoughts of God. I would have the Scriptures in my mind. I'd be in prayer. I'd be reading the Word. I'd be reading the words of other godly men. Fool! Fool! And I remember one day I was walking along the garage. I was to take you there at my, where I was raised, the house I was raised in. And I remember one day I was just so spiritual, quote unquote. Now I'm not trying to boast. Please hear me. I'm not trying to boast in where I was, but I was there. And one day I said to God, God, why can't I just be normal? And to this day, I will regret saying those words. Because I was in a place in God that was, I mean, very real. But when I said those words, it's like God said, well, go ahead and experience normality for a while. And I began to struggle. Things began to happen where I didn't have that same passion in the Word. I wasn't praying like I was. And I was like, Lord, why is it falling apart? But it was to show me, look, there is a depth of the Spirit that you can have, but there needs to be a longing for it and an appreciation for it as well. And I'm living in a place now where I want to go back to that place once again. Our generation needs it. There are people dying and going to hell all around us. They're going to a literal hell. And if they don't turn to God, there is no hope for them. And how will they hear without a preacher? Amen? Are you that preacher? Quickly to John chapter 14. Easter was last Sunday, and in Easter we celebrate the resurrection. Jesus died on the cross on a Good Friday or Thursday many, many years ago. But he rose from the dead. And his rising from the dead was very important. And Jesus would tell us how important it was. It's beautiful. Look at chapter 14. And I'm going to read some scriptures here. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, these final words. These are the words before the cross. But I want you to focus in on these verses with me as he talks about the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit wasn't sent to move in our lives in the way that he has until the cross was accomplished. No other people, except for the Church of the Living God, is able to experience the Holy Spirit this way. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Your version may say comforter. It may say advocate. It may even say another word there. But the Greek word, you see, the New Testament was all written originally in Greek. The Greek word is paraclete. P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. Or the parakletos of God. And what it means is one called alongside to help. How many of you ever needed help? We've all needed help, amen, in one way or another. Well, I'm telling you about a person that has been sent to you who wants to help you. You know, when there's somebody that wants to help you, they don't want to hurt you. They want to help you. And I want you to think of the Holy Spirit that way. He says, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper," just like himself, "that he may abide with you," or be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. "I will not leave you as orphans," he says, or comfortless in your King James. "I will come to you. After a little while," verse 19, "the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. and you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Oh, don't you just love those words? There's a revelation that you can have of Jesus Christ in your life personally. I could tell you all my stories. I can tell you of all my experiences, but those are mine. God wants to make them real to you. Amen. Verse 25 and 26 says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you." Oh, we need the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 26, turn there real fast. It says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." He wants to teach you about Jesus. Thus, lastly, turn real fast to John 16, verse 5. It says, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." What? Jesus says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Because of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the rule of the world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now or bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. But he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it or reveal it to you." The Holy Spirit wants to show you and me many things. And if there is a generation that needs a greater revelation of God, it is ours. And there is no way that we will get that revelation or that understanding without the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to encourage you, as I have been seeking God myself, to pray, "Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. Not only do I want the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit." And so today, it's been neat even, because this message has been on my heart even before I studied the lesson for Sunday school, but I'm glad we're talking about the Holy Spirit in this church. We need the Holy Spirit. The church is powerless without Him. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I don't know where you stand. I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. But I can almost guarantee that the majority of us in this room need more of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to flow, to move in our lives, in our church again. And so if that's you and you're saying, "Pastor James, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to move in my life personally. I need the Holy Spirit to move in my home, my family. I need the Holy Spirit to move. I need the Holy Spirit." Then if that's you, I want you to come to this altar and I want us to pray for the Holy Spirit to move. Amen. Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away, because if I go, I will send him to you." He's the Helper. He's not the discourager. He's not the hinderer. That's the devil, the enemy. But you and I, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives now more than ever. He's the one that will help us to walk in that straight and narrow. Sometimes it's hard, but we need his help. Sometimes we're sick and we need Him to heal us. We need a greater revelation of Jesus, and it's going to come by the person of the Holy Spirit. And so as I begin to pray, I want you to pray in your own hearts to the Lord. You talk to Him. He wants to hear your voice. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives like never before. Father, we come before You together with all of our hearts united, asking for more of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You would remove any fear or concerns of, Lord, weird things happening. For, Lord, You don't make weird things to happen. For, Lord, You move in peace. You move in order. You move in ways that will glorify Your name. And so I pray in the name of Jesus right now for a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, we would begin to hear Your voice once again like we've never heard Your voice before. Lord, You said that we will hear Your voice behind us saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And I pray, Lord, that You would give us a sensitivity to Your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we head throughout our day this afternoon, we pray that You'd begin to speak, begin to draw us. For You said that You would draw all men unto You. I pray that You'd give us that sensitivity, a renewed sensitivity to Your drawing. As You begin to draw us into reading Your Word, into praying, into spending time alone with You, intimate time, a meeting place where we are spending time with You like two lovers would. Draw us into that intimate place, Lord, as a church. Draw us into that place that, Lord, there would be such a fullness of Your Spirit in our lives that the people around us would even begin to notice the difference because we are becoming so Holy Ghost normal in our lives. Help us not to be happy with the little. Help us to want more. Put a greater desire and passion within us for more of all that You have for us. For eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that You have prepared for those that love You. But You've revealed those things to us by Your Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit again. Lord, fill us with that fullness of the Holy Spirit to know those things that You have freely given to us, to understand Your love in a greater way, to understand our future in a greater way, to understand Your blessing in our life in a greater way, that, Lord, this world pales in comparison to what it has to offer, in comparison to what You have for us. Oh God, give us a greater hunger and thirst for these things in Jesus' name. I pray that as we begin to seek Your face again, that, Lord, You would answer our heart's desire. Give us a fresh hunger, Lord God, and meet that hunger in Jesus' name. A fresh thirst for the fullness of the Spirit. For You said, don't be drunk with the wine of the world, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, forgive us. Forgive me for my own neglect. For, Lord, You are the guest within my heart, within my life. I pray, Lord, that You wouldn't be a guest alone, but You would become the Lord and Master of my life. That, Lord, we would be led by Your Spirit. Forgive us for our neglect, O Lord. Forgive us. And we invite You again, afresh, to make Yourself known in our lives in a greater way. For You have never left. We are Your temple. But make Yourself very real, afresh again. And I pray that, Lord, it would be evident, Lord, in the way that our lives begin to change, O God. We want the fullness of Your Spirit, whatever that means, Lord. If it means that we begin to speak with other tongues, then baptize us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Help us to speak in those other tongues, to pray in the Spirit. But help us not to seek the gift as much as the giver. Fill us with the Holy Spirit again. For Lord Jesus, we want to know You. We want to know You. We want to know You more intimately. And Lord, we know that that knowledge will come by the Spirit of God. Oh God, reveal Yourself, we pray. And I thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing. Lord, I pray You'd bless this congregation, everyone that is here. Show them that, Lord, You are for them. that you are pleased with their heart's desire. For, Lord, this is a prayer that you will answer. For, Lord, you want us to desire more of you. And so we thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. For any that would be struggling, Lord. Any that would be under a spirit of condemnation, feeling like they're condemned, eradicated, Lord. For that condemner and that condemnation is coming from the evil one. We cast it out in Jesus' name. For, Lord, you are not condemning your own. For your arms are wide open and you want to embrace them at this time. Bless our seeking after you, we pray. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be glorified. Meet us where we are. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 How many believe that God is doing something good?